Some big business deals in the sneaker market that we have to talk about, this time on Fire Footwear. Welcome back to Fire Footwear, everybody. As always, this is Matt Freitz, your host. I hope that this finds you well. Very happy that you are back. If you are brand new, a big welcome to you. I missed last week because I had a great time in Blacksburg, Virginia. I went and saw Metallica at Virginia Tech for those of you in the United States. It was a wonderful experience. I got back. I was tired. Had to go into the office on Friday, and so I just did not come out with content. But we're back this week with an interesting episode because last time I talked about pivoting. I talked about Jordan Brand trying to pivot to other sports than basketball. We talked about the NFL. We talked about the PGA. And I had some people reach out talking about how they agree and how there's some meat on the bone there. So perhaps we will have a little roundtable one day around this subject. But I want to talk about the business of sneakers today. And the reason being is because there are two pieces of news that are out there. Now, when I wrote the notes for this episode, admittedly, there was only one that I was going to talk about. But since then, there has been another piece of news that we're going to lightly touch on. The first piece of news that came out recently was Dick's Sporting Goods is going to be acquiring or attempting to acquire Foot Locker. And I believe the price is going to be somewhere in the range of $2.5 billion for this acquisition. Both Dick's and Foot Locker have seen their stock prices go down. That isn't something that's foreign to a lot of companies these days based on the state of the economy. But the reason that this is huge news is because Foot Locker has been sort of the beacon when it comes to stores that are not main stores like Nike or Adidas stores that we associate with sneaker culture. Back in the day, Foot Locker used to be a staple. You'd walk in there and it was an event. It had a vibe to it. And Foot Locker has seen a dwindling of that because during that direct-to-consumer period for Nike under the old CEO leadership, they didn't get as many of these releases, if any at all. So to see this acquisition go through, to see Dick's Sporting Goods, who I don't see as a sneaker culture company, acquire it, it makes me think about the future. So we'll see what happens with that. We will see what the future holds with that. But the story that I want to deep dive into is something that's been out now for about a week and I think is interesting, and that is the sale of Skechers. I don't know if we've ever talked about Skechers on this podcast before. We maybe have mentioned it one time, but it is a brand that I think is outside of sneaker culture. It certainly is outside of hype. And so its sale, I can understand, would go under the radar for many people. And that's to be expected because we don't wear Skechers as a hype product. It isn't a shoe that you see many people wearing that isn't for utility, that isn't for comfort. But it's a company that's been around for a very, very long time, since 1992. It's funny because the CEO was formerly of LA Gear. Do you remember that? I remember having the light up shoes from LA Gear, and I think that was the company anyway. And so Skechers has been a staple for now 30 plus years. And while they initially came in with utility boots and skate shoes and stuff like that, they have really grown to be this global lifestyle footwear brand. So much so that they are right now the third largest footwear brand by sales as of 2024. Of course, after Nike and Adidas, and we'll get into some of those numbers a little bit later. Why is this sale interesting? Well, because you're looking at Skechers owning about 6-7% of the US sneaker market share, which is quite a lot. If you think about sneakers, and if you think about what we normally associate Nike and Adidas with, we think of them as far and away one and two. And I think tangentially, you have New Balances and other brands that may be right there, but we don't see them as a main player. We see them as more of like a niche brand. And Skechers is kind of sort of not a niche brand. And the reason being is because of the demographic that they're really going after. I mean, in 2024, they grossed $8 billion globally. Think about that for a second. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to be made by a company that is not in sneaker culture. And I think one of the reasons why not being in sneaker culture maybe has been beneficial for them is because they're not catering to a small market. Let's think about Jordan Brand specifically. Let's think about lifestyle shoes that come out from them, these retros that we're all used to, that we all love. How many of them are for folks not in sneaker culture? Or I guess, how many people who aren't already sneaker people actually know about what's going on, actually care about Air Jordans, care about these retros? Maybe here or there, you will get a person who remembers a shoe from back in the day, Great example of that for me is every time I wear the Hot Lava AirTech Challenge 2 that came out in 2024, somebody always says, I remember the Agassiz. I remember having those shoes. To me, that's a cool thing, but it stops there. You're not going to get these people to go buy them. You're not going to get them embedded into sneaker culture. And I think that Air Jordans are for people, if you know, type crowd. Skechers is not that. They have them at the outlet. They're extremely accessible. And one of my good friends, who is an avid supporter of this show, said famously, accessibility is the antithesis of hype. And sneaker culture is really about hype. Accessibility over the years has become a bad thing for sneakers. And accessibility has been a bad thing because people don't feel as if the shoes that they're buying are getting them the clout that they want them to, because they're available. You can go out and buy them. As a matter of fact, you can get them for under retail. There is no societal, I guess, currency that comes from owning a shoe that next to nobody was able to get. To me, that is counter living the culture. I think that that is another subset of this culture that we all love, that they're not really living the culture in the same way that most of us are. But Skechers, again, has a difference to it. The look of all of their shoes, if you go to a Skechers outlet, I don't know how many people walk into a Skechers outlet, go in there looking for something that they would call or describe as fire. They go in there because they might have a job where they're on their feet all the time, or they're of a certain age. And if you look at the demographics of Skechers, you're talking about mostly older people. Now, I understand that at 42 years old, I'm getting closer to being an older person than I am a younger person, but you get my point, right? When you go in there, Skechers is not catering to runners. They're not catering to mass running or marathon running. They are really catering to everyday people, people who are going to be using these shoes for utility. Not to mention the fact that they're really, really big into slip-ons. They're really big into not just accessibility. They're into accessibility as it relates to shoes being available, but they're also into accessibility for people being able to use their shoes no matter what their situation is physically in this life. So whether you're old, young, have a disease that prevents you from using your muscles the same way, all of those folks are invited and really welcomed with open arms by Skechers. They obviously have updated their technology, memory foam, they have hyperburst foam, their arch fit, again, with the hands-free slip-on shoes, that's a big one. And they have tried to cater to different sects of the demographic out there that I think has been interesting. Do you remember, 10, 15 years ago when they had those shoes that if you wore them, you'd get great calves and people were like, yeah, sign me up for that. That was really catering toward, I think, mostly middle-aged women who were sort of in that train of trying to lose weight, trying to do so without having to really exercise a ton, having to invest a ton of money in a gym. And I totally understand that. There's no shade on that. But they kind of got had with that because Skechers basically came out and said, yeah, it really doesn't do what we advertise that it does. But it hasn't always been a brand that has been outside of hype. If you think about the early 2000s where Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, those were huge brands, huge icons in terms of pop music back in the day. And even in the 2010s, K-pop really adopting and accepting Skechers as this brand, the D-Lites, right? And that's a huge one because that's a specific niche that's way outside of what we consider sneaker culture. But man, it is small, it is fierce, kind of like the following for a show like this. And then even recently, Snoop Dogg being a collaborator with Skechers for, I think, 3 years. And I asked a question on here that might have been one of the reels that I had some time where I said, what are we doing? Why is Snoop Dogg, who could put his name on anything, going towards Skechers? And you know what the reality is? Snoop Dogg is an old man. He's an old man and probably wears Skechers more often than he would wear Air Jordans or something else. Even though, because of his association with being one of the greats in hip hop, you'd think, well, he obviously would be into sneaker culture. He's just old now. And so that makes sense. They've had a ton of high profile marketing, Super Bowl ads, because again, they're not looking for just sneaker people. They're looking for everybody. But at the end of the day, Skechers is not embraced by the culture. They're not embraced by sneakerheads, and they really don't have a presence. It's very limited in terms of hype, if at all, right? Like, do they even have any hype? They have been definitely criticized for their design. There's a lot of imitation is the greatest form of flattery going on here. Legal actions by Nike, Adidas, and others. And that makes sense because Nike, Adidas, they're innovators, or they have been innovators. And here comes Skechers well behind them in terms of the advent of their company. And now they're coming out with shoes that have similar technology. They look similar. They're sort of advertised to do the same thing. And Nike and Adidas, who have been very punitive in terms of suing companies, they're going to go after you. And they don't have any resale value, really. Like, if you go on GOAT or StockX, is there a Skechers on there? Maybe one or two if they're associated with a celebrity, but that's it, right? They're a comfort first mass market company. That's what they're all about. They don't rely on storytelling. They don't have exclusive releases, and they dominate a space that is not usually occupied by sneaker culture. But really, what is the future for them? They're sold for this amount of money. I think it's $9 billion in sales. And think about that for a second. That's huge, right? If you're the third highest sneaker company in the global market, you command a presence. But now that they have been purchased, and now that sneaker culture is sort of kind of on the rise because we're seeing limited releases now, even if it's feigned limitations with Nike not making as many, there may be an avenue for Skechers to get in the game because now New Balance is in the game. Although they've always been in the game, they've always been a player, and they've been doing so in a niche to me that is high quality. They've always been expensive, they've always been high quality. But now, Runners, Hokas, On Clouds, Salomons, old ASICS Kayano 14s, those are all big now. And what is Skechers really, right? Skechers is a lifestyle company, but they have what they consider running shoes or athletic shoes. This is where they can get into the market. And all of these other companies that are coming in and occupying a space of the sneaker market that maybe isn't about hype, but again, people are gravitating toward comfort. That's why New Balance gets to be such a high presence now. Great releases, great collaborations with the utility to go along with it. Yeezy kind of made that so with the 700. You kind of got fashion and utility at the same time. And now a lot of companies who are just making shoes for people to run in, walk in, whatever, they're now capitalizing on this new space and this new lane within the hype market. And I think it'll be interesting to see if Skechers is going to be a part of that, because Skechers now can have a portion of itself be part of hype, be part of exclusivity. And if you get the right celebrity, you design the right shoe, it's Chris from Wear Testers who always says, colorways can make or break a silhouette. If they get the right colorways, if they market it correctly, do a great marketing campaign. Think about the way that they marketed, or at least Nike marketed, the Nigel 4s. There's a lot of potential there. And the people that have bought them, the people that have bought Skechers as a company, are they thinking about that? Are they trying to get into a market that maybe they're not trying to compete with Nike or Adidas, but they're trying to compete with all these others that we talked about? Can they get close to New Balance? No idea. But Skechers has its own identity, that mass market and affordable appeal. But that doesn't mean they always have to be that. That doesn't mean that everything that they do from here on out has to be that. I think they've established themselves. They certainly make a lot of money. And so what now if they add on? What happens if they try to get into this market? Is it going to work? I think that's fascinating to look at. I think it'll be fascinating to see if all of a sudden, right before our eyes, Skechers is up there with these other companies. And now you hear it on podcasts and you see it on reviews. People are reviewing Skechers. Again, the right celebrity, right marketing, great colorway, and they could really knock it out of the park. I would like to know from you though, because you're probably laughing thinking, why are we talking about Skechers? But from a business perspective, do you think that the sale of Skechers could send it into the next stratosphere? Do you think that they can ever have a position in terms of hype and sneaker culture? And do you think you'd ever buy a Skechers if the price was right and the collab was right? Let me know. Instagram at Fire Footwear Pod. Love to have you as part of the group chat. TikTok, if you want to see some reels, at Fire Footwear Pod is the place to go. YouTube, if you're not on YouTube and haven't subscribed, we are 3 subscribers away from 1,600. Fire Footwear Sneakers Talk with Matt Freights is what you would search. Subscribe, watch some videos all the way to the end, like, share them, comment on them. Love to have you as part of this community. And for those of you listening right now, Apple, Spotify, or wherever, make sure you subscribe, make sure you rate, and again, share this podcast. Trying to build this community, we are so very close to the goals that we're trying to get to here, and I just want to continue moving forward and build a community around this content that we all can be proud of. Hope this finds everybody well, fam. Hope this finds everybody safe, and I'll talk to you next time. This is Fire Footwear. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on Fire Footwear are those of Matt Freights and his guests, and not necessarily those of the Matty Ice Media Network. Fire Footwear is exclusively owned by Matt Freights and is brought to you by the Matty Ice Media Network.